We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, Dan Rubenstein, sir. How are you?
I'm not bad. Yesterday was about 80 degrees. It's been like 45. Real fun. Real fun way to get used to whatever this time of year is. But I'm not here to talk about weather, Ty. I'm here to talk about the biggest story of the week in college football, if that's okay with you.
Please, please do.
Now, you might think because this is a college football podcast, I'd say, man, it looks like Haynes King coming on strong for A&M and the battle to take over Kellen Mond. Or, ooh, am I a Casey Thompson guy? Am I a Hudson Card guy at Texas? What did we see in that spring affair? Or, you know, looking, you know, Tennessee, the first spring with Josh Heupel, they're going downfield more. Or, you know, a new receiver breaking out at Oklahoma or wherever. I saw 24/7 had like a spring recap of storylines from spring games this weekend. Or I saw Nakosi Perry is going to FAU to join Willie Taggart there. So that seems like a good move for him and Willie Taggart, who's had some good offenses. But no, Ty, I read to you and follow along all social medias and all that stuff. Check out verballers.com for Patreon. With apologies to the McElroy triplets, I read to you a press release, like what they do with fast food restaurants. Dateline San Diego, April 28th, 2021, 9 o'clock a.m., Eastern Daylight Time.
Is this, that's do we need today. To do a Stone Phillips voice?
If you can, you can do your best.
Yeah, I don't have that. Continue.
It's a match made in Manscaped heaven. Former sponsor Manscaped, leading men's grooming brand and the University of South Carolina Gamecocks have come together for an unprecedented and undoubtedly harmonious partnership. Known for its extensive roster of acclaimed global sports sponsorships, Manscaped, and its confident but never cocky, until now, sports marketing department is proud to announce its first partnership with a college athletic program, not to mention one that's earned 11 national team and individual titles since 2010 in the NCAA Division I Southeastern Conference and with the most loyal fan base around. It goes on and on. It's unclear what the sponsorship entails. But Manscaped now sponsoring the Gamecocks of
I'm
South
sure that
Carolina.
Was not at all intentional.
No, and obviously you can make your Oregon State jokes. There's all sorts of different places you can go with a Manscaped college football or college sports sponsorship. But really didn't see this happening.
No.
But maybe, and I don't know South Carolina's finances, but maybe this is an element of a lot of schools losing a lot of money in 2020. With revenues down across the board, we're going to see some more creative sponsorship.
This would have been so much more fun if Will Muschamp were still there, wouldn't it?
Man.
Will Muschamp doing Manscaped reads. That would have been a sight to behold.
I don't think... Do you think that Shane Beamer is going to be talking about regions in press conferences? Is that your
It's not my first reaction, but again, we don't know the full scope of the sponsorship.
That's true.
We don't know what these guys are going to ask to be doing out there.
Yeah, I'm Jim Harbaugh, and I'm here to talk to you about Blue Chew. Go Blue! I am so happy about this. And you, of course, you gave me all sorts of notes, you know, for our own Manscaped read way back when and all your detailed thoughts. You can go back to the archives. You can comb and listen. But man, good for South Carolina getting
the Gamecocks.
Yeah.
The Gamecocks.
I guess trimming away at budget shortfalls. No,
it's not bad. I've heard better.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Well, look,
transition not, away from that.
Not
idiot.
The way I expected to start the show. As Dan said, verballers.com is the Patreon where you can find all the bonus stuff that we've been working on.
I'm scanning a list of current college football head coaches who I'd most like to see do Manscaped reads.
Do we just want to pivot and do this?
Okay, so do you think a more hirsute coach would be best, or do you think like a cleaner head coach would be best to say, it worked for me, it can work for you? Like, do you think it's a Dave Aranda? Like, I know a little something about taking care of hair.
What about Kirk Ferentz? What about the most dry?
I mean, he would stammer and,
boring,
and sort of dance around it.
He would clearly be uncomfortable doing the read.
You understand that more and more in 2021 and beyond, when coaches either retire, not necessarily retire, but when they lose work and they're looking to get into media stuff, they're going to be doing podcasts.
Sure.
And the more desperate of these now former coaches, I think Les Miles had a podcast for a year or two or something like that.
Sure, sure he did. Yeah.
The more desperate and the less, you know, shamey coaches are going to be open to this, to doing ad reads for companies that want to be sponsors. And so like, Ryan Day, I think. You ever see Ryan Day's brows?
He's got a lot of coverage.
He's got a lot of coverage. Yeah. So I think he might be an interesting person to sort of talk about maintaining your Manscaped lifestyle.
This is a very, very deep question.
I think Sam Pittman would be fantastic.
Sam Pittman would be really good. I come back to Muschamp. Muschamp would be able, if you could get him on board to do the read.
Not an active head coach, but
what
yes.
What about Kirby Smart? He's not unlike Will Muschamp. Somebody who seemingly takes himself very seriously and is always very together and sort of mean and doesn't have much of a sense of humor outwardly.
Yeah, he's just he's too much of a football guy. He doesn't have time to even be silly. I want at least a chromosome of silliness to
not
this
Gary
head
Patterson.
Coach. Gary Patterson will be interesting. You know that grooming and hygiene are part of his coaching. If you remember switching shirts at halftime
right.
during the Alamo Bowl way back when. I think Dan Mullen would be interesting. Lane would obviously be fantastic. Coach O would be great. Leach would do a pretty good job, I would assume.
Leach would have some existential question about the Manscaped process that would just complicate it. So no, I'm out on him.
I would listen to a Herm Manscaped read. I would listen to Brady Hoke do a Manscaped read. It's my terrible impression.
Let's be honest. We'd listen to any coach do a Manscaped read. And any
no,
one of
that's
guys.
Not true.
Any one of these guys we'd be fine with.
No, because there's nothing silly about Scott Frost. There's just not.
This would be silly. This would be funny.
Yeah, it would just be them unintentionally or intentionally fumbling their way through getting to all of the bullet points for this ad read, not a sponsor.
I thought you were going to talk about Bill Hancock.
Oh,
hinting.
Man, Manny Diaz. Manny Diaz has a lot of
Manny Diaz, definitely.
Yeah. I'm not even being silly here. He's just, it's clear that his beard and the hair atop his head grows quickly.
SolidVerbal@gmail.com is the email. Let us know which coach you'd like to see in this situation. I thought you were going to talk about Bill Hancock in the press release that maybe the playoffs
forget
expanding.
No, we can talk about that too. But Dabo saying, hot dog, I didn't know what we were talking about. That'd be wonderful.
Stream cheese ball.
You want to talk about the playoff expansion? I saw our friend Stu Mandel and Andy Staples were writing about it, that there's some sort of, there was a convening of the minds.
There was a convening of the minds. And I can speak to this seeing as how I was on a national panel for PennLive.com conducted by our good friend Dave Jones.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Kind of a big deal now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they examined, they were very casual in mentioning that they examined 63 proposals of possible changes. And that entailed a number of things, keeping it at 4, moving to 6, 8, 10, 12, 16. Who knows how high up they went with this, but a number of different proposals. I think just by mere fact that they acknowledge there are other options out there, the playoff, as we know it, is dead. It is good. The 4-team playoff is going to die the second they can possibly pull the plug on it. Because as I think Andy Staples pointed out, he's fluent in Bill Hancock.
Sure.
When Bill Hancock acknowledges something, that's the cue that the current system is going to die.
Well, Bill Hancock's just a windsock.
He's a windsock. He's a PR
orders.
Guy. Yeah. He's a nice guy. Yeah. He's a PR guy. I think it's dead. I think it's dead. I don't know what it goes to. My comment to Dave was that I'd like to see 8 teams. If they're going to expand, let's go to 8. All Power 5 schools, all Power 5 champions, excuse me, those schools get an automatic bid in. Let's give one out to the group of 5, the best of the group of 5, and then 2 wild cards to do whatever the playoff committee sees fit with. That would be my ideal system if they're going to expand. I know you hate the playoff. I know you hate the idea of expansion. If they are going to expand, which inevitably, Dan, they are going to do.
Yeah.
Do you have a preferred method of expansion?
Yeah, I would. I tweeted this out earlier that I would just be fine with them keeping it at 4, then expanding it to a whole different tournament, a whole side tournament that's much more of a spectacle, and there's money involved for the players, and there's gambling because people can actually make brackets. I mean, it's more difficult when you can't play 2 games in a weekend, so things aren't condensed like they are with basketball. But that would be my, like, I just, there comes a point where college football was a bowl sport, right? There was just, this is what our postseason is. We are very different than every other major sport. We do bowls. And then everybody decided, well, this isn't fair because we need to find a capital N, capital C national champion, which always, you know, sort of seemed beside the point to me, but a lot of people wanted that, and that's fine. And I you know, I can't argue with what people want, but You have to define your postseason. And by college football saying, well, we're going to have a 4-team playoff. Oh, maybe we'll go 8. Maybe we'll go 12. Maybe it'll be defined by conference champs. And like, then we're going to do other bowl games. Like, why? Like, one element of your postseason has stakes, but another doesn't. And one of them is in tournament form. The rest is just like, well, this bowl game is choosing who they want from either this conference or conference.
Am I understanding this correctly now? You're going from not wanting any kind of a tournament and just sticking with the old bowl system to now multiple tournaments?
Well, you asked me how I would expand the playoff.
Okay, you don't want to expand the championship part of the playoff. You want to expand the other side of it.
If we are deciding that college football is to be a tournament sport, yeah. If that's the exercise, how about this?
Again, you ignore the question, but that's fine.
No, re-ask the question.
I'm saying, if they are expanding the championship portion of this playoff from 4 up to more, what does that look like for you? If gun to your head, you have to choose, how are you choosing?
I guess 6.
6. Perfectly 6 reasonable teams. Answer.
Yeah, give bye weeks to at least get whatever version of Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson or whatever, like, superpower of that year, or even LSU when LSU was that team, to at least give us at least one weekend of maybe competitive games. Because right now, the best of the best are so far ahead of, you know, number 3 or number 4 and beyond, with time off to game plan, where, I mean, it doesn't, like, we looked at Notre Dame as a success because they only lost by, what, 17 or 20, whatever it was, to Alabama. Like, that was a success in the context of the playoff, that they were able to hold Alabama down like that. So the 6 teams, at least you can convince me that maybe a team that's at number 5 or number 6 lost a game because they were down a quarterback or, you know, 3 guys on their offensive line because of just random circumstance. But when you go below that, then you're just saying, we don't want to find a national champion as much as we just want to be inclusive. We want to reward teams for happening to win the Pac-12, even though Oregon finished like number 19 nationally. Like, we just want to be inclusive because we think fans are into inclusive football. And well, so Dan, that doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's fair. Dan Wetzel's point, our friend from Yahoo, he says just scrap the conference championships, that it's sort of a flawed system anyway, that you've got divisions that are that are not symmetrical. And let's just use that week for the first round of a playoff. Let's pick the teams from that pool without even naming a conference championship. The conferences won't go for that because they want the payday. Right. But otherwise, let's just, let's roll with that week being week one of the playoff, which I kind of like.
So this is what Bomani Jones of ESPN said, which I think he put better than I can. He said, bottom line is college football on the whole didn't get better because of the playoff, because whatever we call a championship will always be a big game. The playoff actually cut into one of college football's greatest charms, the incredibly narrow margin for error. Truth is, college football is best consumed as a regional game. Worrying too much about nationalizing it misses the point of the whole thing. You'll get a, quote, true champion, end quote, like that matters for anything. Better question, of all the times to worry about what anyone, quote, deserves from college football, you pick a postseason tournament. That is where you want to talk about what anyone deserves. And you want the kids to play the games for free.
Yeah, okay. Well, I still want an 18 playoff. I don't care what Bomani has to say.
And which teams? I mean, like, what is the preferred? Like, five conference champions?
Five conference champions.
It's fine.
Give me one group of five, and we'll do two wild cards. My big thing is
You're not wedded to having the best eight teams, just the eight teams that can...
You got to pick one. You got to pick what you want to be, and right now haven't. They haven't picked it, because I think there's an assumption that if you win your conference, you're going to get in. You win your Power 5 conference, you're probably in a good spot to get in, unless maybe you're the Pac-12. I don't know. But
and there's five conferences. Somebody's going to be left out.
Someone's going to be left out. You need to pick what you want to reward. Either you want to reward conference championships or you don't. And so seeing as how every conference has set up the system in which they're crowning a champion.
That's fine.
I think they should at least be uniform in that sense. What are you playing for? A conference championship and the right to go and play for a national championship. That seems fair to me. That part seems fair to me. I think it's important that we include the group of five. And I understand full well that they're probably not going to win the national championship. But my point all along has been, if they're going to be at the FBS level, if we're again going to continue under this guise that being in bowl subdivision qualifies you for a chance to win the national championship every year, what about UCF? What about Cincinnati? What about Hugh? Like, they never have had a chance. It's all a big ruse. So if we're going to have them in the same division, at least let them compete for that national championship. Give them a spot in the playoff. Let them play Alabama round one. One of these days, someone will knock off Alabama, maybe. But let's at least formalize their portion of being in the FBS by giving them a shot in that playoff. And then two wild cards, because there's always teams that are on the outside looking in if you've got a system wedded to conference championships. Pick two other teams. Let's go to eight. First round held on campus. I think we are in full and total agreement that college football is best played on campus.
Sure.
So add that first round matchup where it takes place on the campus of the higher seeded school. After that, you can keep the current system. Just add that extra layer in the very beginning where you've got some home games to reward teams that make it through as a top four seed. And then just, we can keep doing what we're doing otherwise. That's my proposal. It's not that different from what we have now. It just adds that extra layer and, a potential home game for Wisconsin in mid-December. Okay.
Fine.
Don't care. I think that's the system that would make the most sense to me.
And this just seems like we're bending over for a region that cares about football the least in the West Coast. Got to get that West Coast team. Got to get the millions upon millions of Stanford fans engaged with the college football playoff. Okay.
You got to decide what you want to be. Are you going to reward conference championships? Or are you going to reward the fan bases? What do you want it to be? I'd prefer to reward the teams that win their conference championships. Let them play on. Let them see what they can be.
Okay. And if we have a 9-3 team that makes it over 5-11-1 teams, So be it.
So be it.
Okay. So be it. That's Ty's America.
It's Ty's America.
Okay.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Shall we get to our game du jour?
Good. I don't know if I fully understand it, but I'm fully committed to the bit, so yes.
Here is the bit, Dan. We're going to be making some draft picks today.
It's a 7. It's a 7-on-7 game involving receivers and a quarterback and a center to snap the ball in 7-on-7.
Take a knee here, Dan.
Okay.
Let me explain this. You've heard of this thing that we have, actually, I guess tonight. A lot of folks are going to be listening to this early on Thursday. If you're listening on Friday or Saturday or sometime next week, we've got an NFL draft going on this week.
Sure.
And we're going to use that as our player universe to pick from. What we're going to do is we're going to pick a 7-man team. Here is the catch. This 7-man team has to play both ways. We're taking these guys on the road, man. They're like the Globetrotters. This is a 7-man team. All the guys we pick have to play both ways.
Okay.
So right off the bat, probably not going to build the plane out of Mac Jones. Not a whole lot of defensive positions that Mac Jones is going to be suitable for. Okay.
Okay.
On offense, we've got a quarterback. We've got somebody who snaps the ball, could end up being a tight end, whoever. And then we've got five other skill guys. We've got running backs. You could do wide receivers. You could do tight ends. There's no running plays. It's just snap the ball. Everyone runs out for a pass. Okay.
So is that the 7 is one quarterback and 6 skill guys?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
On defense,
is the center who snaps the ball, does he have to stay in to block?
Maybe for
Mississippi count?
For Mississippi.
Okay.
All right. And on defense, you got to have guys who can cover everyone going out for a pass. You got to have versatile guys. That could be, you know, just about anybody.
So it's a combination of defensive backs and receiver running backs then.
Basically, yes.
With a quarterback presumably having to play one of those positions on defense.
Exactly. So there's no running plays. It's all passing plays. And the 7 guys we pick are playing both ways.
Okay.
So I think our task here is to look up and down these draft lists and let's put together our ideal 7-man team. If we're taking these guys out on the road, they're all going to be very good, obviously. They're draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're taking these guys out on the road and we're looking to maximize versatility, being able to play both ways effectively, who are we taking?
Gotcha.
Who are we taking? So let me start this off to kind of get us in the frame of mind.
Please.
Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
Part of Kyle Pitts' allure in the NFL, certainly at Florida, he is a tight end who could have played defensive line. He's one of those guys.
Which is not a position we need.
it's not a position we need, but in terms of somebody who can, first off, take up a lot of space out there on the field, somebody who is impossible to cover because he can do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
The versatility with a guy like a Kyle Pitts is something that would be very interesting on a team that's going to play both ways.
So is that your number one overall pick? Is that your
starting
I'm
throwing him out there. I'm throwing him out there as a possibility. Another question to consider. Let's talk about quarterback.
Yeah.
Who's the best quarterback this year?
Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to go number one.
Can Trevor Lawrence play pass coverage?
Not to me, but it's your pick if you're picking first.
I want to pick together, Dan. I want this to be a collaborative effort.
Oh, so we're not picking against each other.
No, we're picking this is an one exercise. Seven-man team.
We're co-GMs.
I wrote this to you before we did this.
I misinterpreted it. Okay. It says seven-man team positions needed. I thought this was a draft, and you draft against each other, not with each other. I have a set strategy to mentally bury you, so... I would take Justin Fields probably first overall because of his athletic background, playing baseball, spatial awareness. I also like that he's not terribly tall for this. He has good high-end speed, change of direction, athleticism at 6'3", 228. I like 6'3", a whole lot better than 6'6", if he's playing like a center field type safety or, you know, playing in the box against shorter routes or something like that. So 6'6 is like when you say Kyle Pitts, like I want no part of Kyle Pitts. He's just too tall. And as fast as he is, I need change of direction.
Agility,
as
right?
a defensive player. Yeah, absolutely. And so I would take Justin Fields number one overall because you essentially have to take the highest ceiling quarterback who size wise and speed wise makes sense as a safety. Or
exactly.
I guess, you know, center field or box safety.
You need somebody. This is a game that's going to reward agility and versatility. And when I looked up and down, Trevor Lawrence is interesting to me, but only in a circumstance where you've got like a defensive line that you got to try and block. These guys aren't blocking. They're just running out for passes.
6'6", 220.
He could get his arms up. We know he can move.
Without that. The leverage weight wise, I'm not a fan.
I think Fields is also the answer here.
Yeah.
I think okay. Fields is the answer. As I look up and down the draft chart here, there aren't a whole lot of guys that jump out to me. There are a lot of guys in here that have mobility in the quarterback ranks. A lot of guys that have mobility. They can shift around in the pocket. But really only Fields. Really only a guy like a Kellen Mond, maybe an Ian Book. We're not going to put Ian Book on this team, but like there aren't a whole lot of guys who I look at and I say, yeah, they're versatile enough to play both ways. I think Fields falls into that category. Trevor Lawrence is interesting because he can move, but at 6'6", it's tough to figure out where else he might fit on the defensive side. So I think Fields, I'm going to write Fields in as our quarterback. On this list.
I've got a few names here that I think would pop for this exercise. I did some research and I researched guys who played and really succeeded playing two ways in high school. So they have the alternate side of the ball awareness.
Right.
So like Javon Holland, who many consider to be the best pure center field safety in this draft, was a star wide receiver who I think Brandon Huffman even mentioned when he was
on
here a few weeks ago, was a star receiver. And so you have that awareness going in. So like Javon Holland played receiver. Gregory Rousseau played wide receiver in high school. Now he's a bigger dude right now, so he would be more of a red zone target in this exercise. But I have him at 6'7", 265. But the fact is, he has that ability. I think he's probably too heavy and too tall for change of direction in this specific one, but I like having that awareness. Caleb Farley,
right.
Who many consider to be the best corner in the draft.
I have Caleb Farley circled on my list, yeah.
Played quarterback in high school, so trickeration there. Javonte Williams, star running back, I think considered to be what, number two or number three in terms of running backs in
it's
this
like
draft?
Third,
after Najee.
Yeah, third best.
And Travis Etienne. Javonte Williams played linebacker, averaged 16 tackles a game in high school. So there's that element to some of these guys. Paulson Adebo, the corner from Stanford, played wide receiver in high school. So there are guys that just going in have the firmware involved to succeed going two ways. So I don't know if any of those names pop out to you. You said Caleb Farley.
Yeah, Caleb Farley is one that popped out to me because if he's gifted enough to play quarterback and also be presumably the most talented cornerback in this draft, per Robert Mays, who we spoke with on our last show, you got to believe there's enough athleticism in there that you could send him out wide. He'd be able to catch passes.
And one of the things Mays mentioned was it's a particularly deep draft of small receivers. Last year was a bigger receiver draft. So that actually presents itself really well for playing two ways in terms of change of direction, built solidly enough, I suppose, outside of Devonta Smith, that you could see them as a physical corner. You could see them as a thumping safety type. Like you could see Rondale Moore. You could see Jamar Chase, guys like this coming in and just playing at a certain point. It's just football. So I think I don't know if you like Rondale. I don't know if you like Jamar Chase. Rondale listed at 5'9", 180, which is average to small for a corner, but you know, he has exceptional burst in the open field as a receiver. So that's somebody I would put in the mix.
See, I treat this exercise. You remember the old NES game Ice Hockey?
Of course.
You got to pick four
skinny,
guys.
Skinny, medium, big. Yeah.
Yeah, and you picked skinny, medium, big. And you just had to organize your team based on, and they each had different attributes. The big guy could level people. The skinny guy would get leveled, but was a lot more agile, could weave in and out. Mm-hmm. I view this exercise similarly, where I want a mix. That's why Kyle Pitts is interesting to me. If a guy's playing both ways, he might not give you a whole lot on defense, but offensively, who's covering that? Who's covering that? If you've got a guy like Justin Fields,
baby.
if you've got a guy like a Fields throwing to him, who's very accurate, who's covering Kyle Pitts? No one.
I mean,
he's your red zone target.
How tall is Patrick Surtain?
He ain't 6'2",
200. No, he'd be 6'2". We're not talking about a short corner here. Mm. So if you are, this is why I wanted to draft against you, because then I could strategize. You went
Kyle
Pitts number
one. Well, if you want
to, okay, take Surtain.
Fields. Let's go. I'm ready.
Fields is my number one.
Fields is your number one. All right. Let me jot this down. So Dan gets Fields as one. Yeah, do you want it here?
No. Happily.
I didn't know this was going to be a battle royale, but I'm ready. Let's go. My first pick, I'm taking Kyle Pitts. He's my guy. He's my dude. Try and cover him.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to take...
Is this a snake draft? No, just go ahead. You pick. That's fine.
Oh, no, you can go.
Go ahead. I want you to take it. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to take Patrick Surtain.
Surtain, here.
I mean, we're essentially playing tic-tac-toe.
All right. My next pick, I'm going to take Caleb Farley.
Okay. Explain the pick.
Versatile, trickeration, as you mentioned, best pure corner in the draft. You've already got your guy, and this is a blocking style move to prevent you from taking the top two corners, both of whom could probably catch passes. So I want to get my lockdown corner to cover whoever you're going to pick late to catch passes.
With my third pick, because I have Justin Fields and Patrick Surtain, I'm going to take Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, explain the pick.
The best receiver in the draft, and at 6'208", I feel like his athleticism, his ball awareness, he's a versatile defensive back. I think I could put him at safety or corner, and the combination of him going deep with Justin Fields throwing that accurate deep ball, that's a no-brainer to me.
All right, with my pick here, I am going to go with Rondale Moore.
Okay.
Give me Rondale Moore. You talked about his potential versatility. We know he can be a lot of different things in that offense. You could bring him in the backfield, motion him out, have him be the smaller slot guy who just gets into tight spaces over the middle of the field.
So smaller 5'9". Dude.
Smaller dude, but the jitterbug is rewarded in a 7-on-7 style like this.
Okay, fair enough.
So I got Pitts, Farley, and Moore. You've got Fields, Sertan, and Jamar Chase. You're up.
Yeah, I'm going to go Javon Holland here.
Okay.
With my next
pick.
Hold on,
where's my thing? There it is. Javon Holland, defensive back out of Oregon. You talked about him earlier. 6'1", 201.
Yeah, and receiver experience and has the awareness to and the athleticism to, I think, cover bigger dudes. Kyle Pitts is a problem for everybody. So that doesn't concern me all that too much, and I have Patrick Sertan. So I feel great with Javon Holland here.
I'm going Rashad Bateman, next pick.
Okay.
I typed Batman in on the list initially.
No, that works.
Different dude. 6'2", 210. I probably need to add a little bit more defensive muscle on this team after this pick. But again, a problem. He is a problem to cover. I'm looking at your team. You got Patrick Sertan. Who's covering Rashad Bateman on this team? Anybody?
Holland or Sertan?
Can Holland cover him?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I mean, more so than Jamar Chase.
This is true. All right. You're up.
I'm going to go with... you took Farley. I took Sertan. I'll go with J.C. Horn, South Carolina.
Okay. Explain.
Corner. 6'1", 205. I'm just... I like having these big corners. I think defense is harder to play than offense. I think you can teach a smart athlete who's used to playing defense how to play receiver. And so J.C. Horn and his ball skills and his length. His experience in the SEC. 6'1", 205, has the size, won't get pushed around. So I'm going J.C. Horn as well. I think he can be a terrific two-way athlete.
Okay.
You still need somebody throwing the ball, right?
Well, I don't need to pick them until last because you went quarterback first.
Unless I want to block.
Go ahead. Go for it. If you want to burn a second pick,
I just made a pick. I just made J.C. Horn.
Go Mac Jones. Do it. I dare you.
No, I'm good.
I dare you to go Mac Jones. All right. So I'm up here. You've got J.C. Horn, Javon Holland, Jamar Chase, Patrick Sertan, and Justin Fields.
Yeah, I've got five dudes.
You got five dudes. Okay. I am going to go with, give me Devontae Smith.
Okay.
Give me Devontae Smith.
I think that's smart. So you have Devontae Smith and Kyle Pitts.
And Rondale Moore. And Rashad Bateman.
So we're taking two very different strategies here.
I'm going speed and agility and coverage nightmares, and you're trying to play defense in an all offensive game.
I think defense is harder than offense. So.
It is, but when you got six guys running out for passes, it's tough to play defense.
That's true, but in this specific exercise, I'm pretty happy with where I'm standing. Okay, so you have now added Devontae Smith to your roster, and I think happily going to take. I just had it. I'll take Jalen Waddle.
Okay. Okay.
5'10", 182. I think he offers me the speed and versatility, the speed to hunt down guys who have gotten by him a little bit because he bit on a double move, that kind of thing. I still think he has that burst and that size. I'm not worried about his height being a deterrent for change of direction like a taller receiver might have. So, yeah, I'm going to go Jalen Waddle. Offers me, you know, probably more so than anybody. I mean, maybe other than Devontae Smith, but like his breakaway speed is just ridiculous. So yeah, I'm gonna go Waddle here.
Are you at all feeling the heat now? Because I have gone extreme with coverage nightmares.
No, not particularly. I'm happy that I'm arguably in possession of the two receivers who could be taken at the top of the draft, and Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle, who a lot of people have mocked ahead of Devontae Smith, and obviously Kyle Pitts is a tight end. So I mean, with the size I have at defensive back and the speed I have at receiver, I feel pretty gravy.
So you got one guy left and I have two. I will take my
Correct.
Quarterback in the final round. But for the time being, I feel like I need a little bit more pop on defense.
Okay.
I am going to go. We'll go Asante Samuel Jr.
Okay.
5'10", 184, a little bit of a smaller corner as compared to both Farley and Sertan, who are 6'2".
Greg Newsome available for Northwestern, locked down a lot of dudes at 6'1". Yeah.
Yep. Now I'm going to go with Asante Samuel Jr. Comes from good stock, of course. His father played in the NFL for a long time. Makes me feel old that we're now at a point where the kids are playing in the league, being drafted into the league. But what I like about this pick is that I have Farley and Samuel Jr. to match up with your combo of Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle. Feel okay about that. And you still don't really give me anybody, that can cover Kyle Pitts.
I mean, was there anybody in college football in general that could cover Kyle Pitts?
No, I just I'm waiting for somebody who is going to be able to stop that matchup.
Okay. I mean, I took the best tall defensive back in the draft, so I addressed it as best I could already in Patrick Surtain. So I'm good. I've got a bit of a wild card for my final pick.
Okay. Mac Jones. Do you want me to put it down? Mac Jones?
I would not like you to put it down. I'm taking Micah Parsons.
Ooh.
I'm taking Micah Parsons here because I don't care what you say that this is 7-on-7 and that this, I mean, are you telling me it's touch football? Because that's what 7-on-7 is. I still want,
I don't know
at
if
least,
we define that.
I know, we didn't. I don't know that having a bit of an athletic thumper isn't a terrible idea in Micah Parsons. Somebody who can go sideline to sideline. Somebody who will intimidate guys over the middle in ways that perhaps some of these defensive backs won't, who are a little bit more slight. And Micah Parsons going out for passes at 6'3", 245 is what he checks in at.
Right.
You're not talking about a 5'10 neck roll old school linebacker here. You're talking about somebody who could play a number of positions on either side of the ball at his size and athleticism. So his closing speed to shorter routes, his ability to intimidate quarterbacks by his presence over the middle, no matter where he ends up playing in the NFL, linebacker-wise, inside or outside, I think there is a certain degree of raw athleticism at 6'3", 245 that will just find a role for Micah Parsons on this squad. So that's my final pick.
Well, you just made it easier for me to go Trevor Lawrence with my last pick.
Have fun.
You made it easy fun. For me. I was wondering, who, if I pick Trevor, who can he cover? He can cover Micah Parsons. Done and done.
You think Trevor Lawrence is covering Micah Parsons at 6'10", 6'6", 210, 220?
He's now a power forward.
I don't know. There's a certain degree of baby deer in the open field to Trevor Lawrence. And I would take him number one overall in a heartbeat. He's athletic. You saw him outrun the Ohio State defense a couple years ago in that playoff game. But you are going to have a coordinator so skilled at hiding him that I can't wait for Justin Fields to take it personally that Trevor Lawrence is going to try and cover somebody. We are going to find mismatches all day. Like, this is an NBA playoff game. And we're playing against the, 2014 Memphis Grizzlies. Ty, what are you doing here? Tony Allen, he's who you just drafted on your defense. We are just leaving Trevor Lawrence alone.
I feel pretty good about my team here. I really do. I feel good about this. You went a little heavier on defense.
Mm-hmm. Also, by the way, because you said wide receiver slash running back, if this is a physical tackling game that we're inventing, I now have both a red zone target, you know, to box out and somebody to hand it to in Micah Parsons at the goal line.
You do have a bowl, but we said at the top, no running plays.
Okay, no running, but even still, if I'm throwing a screen out wide for a shorter pattern and it becomes an Oklahoma drill between Micah Parsons and Trevor Lawrence, you think Trevor Lawrence is holding his own in that one-on-one?
He's 6'6", Dan. He's 6'6". He's a big dude.
He doesn't have the leverage. He's tall.
He's all moxie.
Okay. I think Micah Parsons is running through him in like a cartoon Wile E. Coyote through a mountain kind of way.
Here's what we have here.
Yeah.
We have my team of Trevor Lawrence, Devontae Smith, Rashad Bateman, Rondale Moore, and Kyle Pitts. So you get a little bit of everything there.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything. You get a Heisman Trophy winner who changes direction like crazy. You've got Rashad Bateman and Kyle Pitts, both of whom are just impossible to cover. And Rondale Moore, who can do a little bit of everything. Undersized compared to pretty much everybody you pick, but otherwise.
Versatile. I think if we are actually going to see this game play out on a field with some degree of physicality, I think your team will be so demoralized playing against my team. I think when you basically drafted a soft team. When you go
How
heavy
could you
offense,
say that?
It's well, I just think defensive players are tougher. I think it's a tougher job. I think you're guessing a good
Can
amount of the
catch?
Time, changing directions. You're bringing guys down.
Can you have
yeah, all of these guys have great ball skills. J.C. Horn, I believe J.C. Horn. But J.C. Horn, Javon Holland, Patrick Surtain, it's great.
You have four guys.
You went heavier offense. It's softer. It's okay. It's a choice.
So here's your team. You have Justin Fields, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Javon Holland, Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn, and Micah Parsons. You have two guys on this team. Two guys on this team who you know can catch.
Sure.
Two guys.
Oh, I know Javon Holland can catch.
Javon Holland can catch. Okay, sure. Two and a half. You have two guys that you know can catch.
I've got more all-around experience. I've got more height, and I've got more muscle.
No.
Okay. And I have a guy in Justin Fields who will not be picked on as much as Trevor Lawrence on defense.
I was thinking about that after the fact. So, yeah. Okay, real quick, before we dispel of this weird game.
Yeah.
What are our one-on-one matchups here?
What is the giant icy, is it AT-ATs in Star Wars? AT-ATs?
Oh, the AT-ATs.
I like AT-AT.
So you're saying that's Trevor Lawrence.
I'm saying there is that element of Ja'Marr Chase running a dig route and the AT-AT trying to change direction. We were just like, wait, what? Hold on. Give me a second. Yeah.
There's an element to me.
And I understand that you have that in Micah Parsons, right? You can line up Devontae Smith on Micah Parsons and it's probably not going to be pretty. I get that. But even still, I like having that athletic wild card.
So, I mean, the obvious matchup here is going to be I am putting Caleb Farley on Ja'Marr Chase and Asante Samuel on Jalen Waddle.
Okay.
Right. And I think likewise, you would probably put Patrick Surtain on, I don't know, who are you going to put him on? You're going to put him on Devontae Smith, Rashad Bateman, Kyle Pitts, Rondale Moore.
I'll put him on Pitts at 6'2". Yeah.
Surtain on Pitts. All right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to put J.C. Horn on... Again, you pick your poison then.
I'll put him on Devontae Smith, and I'll put Javon Holland on Rondale Moore.
Okay. You think Holland can cover Rondale Moore?
Yeah, he's a safety. He played all over the field. Yeah. Especially since Rondale Moore lined up sometimes, I believe, in the slot. Sure.
Okay.
And Javon Holland has nickel experience.
So then it really comes down to where are we hiding Trevor Lawrence
and Micah Parsons
and Micah Parsons
on
and Justin
offense,
Fields.
Yeah.
Where who's Fields going to cover?
Fields is playing center field. You have six guys going out for passes.
Okay.
I'll line up, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle on whoever's left.
I'm going to make a graphic of this. Maybe we can tweet that out.
Please.
And people can tell
you have to be very specific. And I think you're going to have to be more specific about the rules of play. If it's tackle, who like is there snapping? Is there not snapping? No running versus running. You got to lay out the ground rules.
No running plays. No running plays. Tackling.
And let us know who we obviously missed. I mean, Kadarius Toney is fascinating here.
See, I was thinking more in the spirit of recruiting 7-on-7, where they're not, I mean, it's an aggressive
where they're taking snaps off of stools. They are. That's literally,
I know.
Yeah, it's two-hand touch. I think it's more for the sake of this, where these are already established college football and soon to be NFL tackle football players. There has to be some sort of bringing down to the ground.
See, I don't agree because you
maybe went, shells.
You went heavy defense, so I can't agree to that.
Yeah, yeah. Now you've backtracked a little bit. Okay.
All right. Well, write in. Look, we'll post this out there on social media.
I think incidental
media.
Contact is allowed then.
Incidental contact has to be allowed, regardless. Okay. Okay. And that's always the case, whether it's flag or two-hand touch. Like it's always a little bit more aggressive than the rules would permit.
I'm also, Kyle Pitts at 6'6 is not an amazing place to be defensively. At 6'6, 240, as essentially, what is he covering the flat? As like an edge rusher? And you're just hoping I throw short?
Maybe
so. You have 2 6-foot-6 dudes on your defense in coverage against the fastest dudes in
maybe
the sport.
Maybe he's covering Micah.
Okay.
Maybe I'm putting him on Micah because, like I said, he's one of those guys who decided to stay as a tight end but could have played defensive line.
Right.
Maybe I put him on Micah and I have, oh God, Trevor Lawrence playing center field.
You see, I just want the equivalent of a bunch of stretch fours.
Right.
I want undersized, but still with a high floor in terms of height versatility.
You really screwed me up because I was not expecting this would be me versus you. I'm glad that it ended up being that because it makes it more interesting.
Yeah, of course.
But I had everything lined up to take Justin Fields. So I had to alter my own strategy once you did.
Yeah. That's what podcasting is all about. This is on the fly draft adjustment. That's what the draft is about, right?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah. All right. Well, look, solidverbal@gmail.com is the email. The website, solidverbal.com. That's where you can go and find all the follow links and subscribe to the newsletter. I don't think we said at the top, but submissions@solidverbal.com is still where we are with open arms waiting for your submissions if you want to help write for the site, for the newsletter, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to post these rosters out there to just do your worst with. Let us know. Let us know who wins. Let us know what the point spread is. Let us know what you'd like to see the rules be in this contest. Obviously, we have no way to validate this outside of public opinion.
I remember watching, this is way back when, I'm trying to remember who was on that team. There was a Memphis basketball team in the NCAA tournament. I think it was Chris Douglas Roberts was on that team, if that name rings any sort of bell for you. Where that Memphis team, basically in its entirety, was just like dudes between 6'4 and 6'8. And they were just switching all over the place, I think, and interchangeable. They're all throwing alley-oops to each other. And I was always fascinated by that element or that possibility with a basketball team. Guys who are all just like, they can guard kind of big, they can guard kind of small if need be, but there's no 5'10 dude and there's no 7-foot dude. And what do you do when you have that sort of interchangeability? That's why I like this exercise a lot, and that's why I brought up the question with Mays about sort of positionless players like we had last year with Isaiah Simmons and this year with, now the name escapes me, Kyle Pitts, right? The guys who are listed at one thing but perhaps have the skills of another thing. So I'm into it. So that's why I tried to build the, 2011 Memphis Tiger basketball team of your football team.
I wouldn't mind Isaiah Simmons on my team. I'll take him.
No, he would have been a great pick.
Is he eligible?
He would have been a fantastic pick. No, which is why I understand the Kyle Pitts pick, but he's fantastic in that he's an inline blocker who runs like a receiver. Not necessarily playing on both sides of the ball, but maybe I'm wrong. Isaiah Simmons would not surprise me if he were just like a killer, killer receiver.
All right. Fun show. Thank you to one and all for downloading, for supporting our content throughout the entire offseason. Enjoy the draft if you're going to be watching tonight or if you're going to be watching over the weekend. We will be back on Tuesday. More content.
Yes, sir.
Got all sorts of fun stuff coming up here in the queue. Appreciate it. As always, solidverbal.com one more time is the website. For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thank you so very much again for your support. Stay safe. Stay happy, stay solid, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Stay solid and peace from me, Dan.